Road of Truth, production number 664. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Christ, South 5th and Highland in Abilene, Texas, assisted by sister congregations and interested individuals, now brings you a Herald of Truth.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see.
The Apostle Paul said, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse that I may gain Christ and be found in him. On another occasion he said, I was made a minister to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and generations, but now hath it been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Today, in a time when all of us are hard-pressed to make a true evaluation of the spiritual and the material, Batzel Barrett Baxter has chosen to discuss the theme of the abundance and riches that are available to one in Jesus Christ the Lord. The title of Mr. Baxter's inspiring message is taken from another saying of the Apostle Paul, first directed to Christians at Corinth, but meaningful to all Christians in every age. He said, all things are yours.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
And now, here is Mr. Baxter speaking on the subject, All Things Are Yours.
Thank you. Sometimes I like to sit back and think about how wonderfully blessed we are. Do you ever do that? Do you ever sit back and let the world pass in review while you think about your own home, your own family, the city where you live, and your fine country? Do you sometimes stop to remember all the blessings and the good things that God sent your way? Does me a great deal of good to remember. My only regret is that I don't do it more often. Most of us spend too many of our waking hours thinking about the problems that we face, the bills yet to be paid or the work yet to be done. We spend too few hours thinking about the things that have already been accomplished, the encouraging achievements of the past months or years, and the positive, constructive things of life. It's good for a man to turn around and look back to see at least some of the encouraging things, for these give him strength to move on against the things that are to come. If that's good for an individual, I think it's also good for a group of Christians. I feel that we too are sometimes too exclusively occupied with the problems that we face, or the work that lies ahead of us, or maybe the besetting sins that so constantly surround us. Most of our preaching is along this line. The preacher normally directs his comments against those things that need to be improved, the places where we're weak. In a sense, this is regrettable, because many, many times we need to think about the good that is about us, the encouraging things of our work. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. First of all, it means that God, the creator of the universe and all that's in it, loves us. He's so concerned about us that he even knows the number of the hairs of our heads, as Jesus put it. Then Christ has come to the earth, has lived and has died in order that we might be redeemed from our sins. Then, too, the Holy Spirit has given us a perfect guidebook to tell us how to live in order to be happy here and saved hereafter. In fact, it's grand to be a Christian. All of this leads me to choose as a text of Scripture for this particular occasion a passage that I find in the 1 Corinthian letter that is wonderfully encouraging. It's one of those optimistic passages which sends you on your way with a song in your heart. The passage was originally written to encourage the Corinthian Christians who faced a number of very severe problems. But it's also for us. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That's 1 Corinthians 3, the final three verses, 21, 22, and 23. To the Corinthians, Paul mentioned three persons, himself, and Apollos, the eloquent preacher from Alexandria who had crossed the Mediterranean, was now preaching at Corinth, and Cephas, or Simon Peter, who played so great a part in the beginning of the church. And he says, all things are yours, all three of them. Now go back to the first chapter of Corinthians, where near the beginning he says, now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been signified unto me concerning you, my brethren, by them that are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I mean, that each one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? That's 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13. Now Paul's message, whatever else you may do or think, remember your religion is centered on Christ. These people had made the mistake of thinking in terms of their belonging to certain of their leaders. If you think of it this way, a man does have to choose sides. I belong to Paul, or I belong to Peter, or I belong to Apollos. But what they should have said was, these men all belong to us. They had really turned the situation around, for everything Paul taught was for all of them. There was nothing in the teaching or in the examples of Apollos or Cephas that was not for every Christian at Corinth. Instead of thinking of their belonging to their leaders, why not appropriate every good thing in every leader for themselves? Speaking in the same vein, we might include the names of Martin Luther, of John Calvin, of John Wesley, and a host of others. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Luther or Calvin or Wesley or whoever it may be. From each of these men, take whatever good there is, but remember your life is centered in Christ. For the courageous stand of Martin Luther, every one of us ought to be deeply grateful. There's some things in all of these men, but only in the sense that they learned them from the Lord. I like the way that Abraham Lincoln said it on one occasion, go along with any man who is in the right, stay with him as long as he's in the right, and leave him when he goes wrong. Now that's what they needed to say back at Corinth. Paul said it best of all, I think, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am an imitator of Christ. in 1 Corinthians 11:1. The fact is, we belong to Christ. In a practical way, our text means to us that there's a procession of great lives back through all the centuries to Christ and even beyond. Now, they belong to us. Abraham is ours. Joseph is ours. David is ours. The apostles and all the rest are ours. From them we learn God's truths, and by them we're inspired to be better than we'd otherwise be able to be. Now let's notice our text again. All things are yours, the world, or life, or death. A few years ago, I listened quite regularly on Sunday evenings to a program called The World Is Yours, and each week it opened up some realm of scientific achievement. It told about inventions that had been made. It told about developments and the battle to extend the span of man's life through the use of new drugs. It told of the latest accomplishments in the field of transportation and communication. Truly, the world is ours. There never has been a time in the history of the world when people have been so challenged or so blessed as we are now. Life is also ours. I listened recently as a newscaster told that the life expectancy of an American man is now 69 years. American women can expect to live 71 years. So the average is about 70 years. And that's higher than it has ever been since the time of Christ. Think of life as a great reservoir of hours and minutes, which you're given when you're born. You can spend them here or there, on this or on that. You have a life, and that life is certainly a great blessing. Death is also yours. Think of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Think of James, the first apostle to be martyred, and the others who followed later. We're told that Paul was killed by the sword and that Peter was crucified head downward. The story of Polycarp's courageous stand for Christ is more fully told in secular history. There's also the story of Ignatius, an elder in the church at Antioch, who was arrested and taken to Rome for martyrdom. He wrote letters along the way urging the Roman Christians not to try to secure his release. He actually desired to die for Christ. Since in our generation we're not called upon to die for Christ, let's hope that we'll live for Christ. Then the next phrase of this inspiring text is things present or things to come. There's so many encouraging things in our present age. People are now more interested in religion than for many generations past. In our bestseller book lists, books with religious emphasis are taking a more and more prominent place. More Bibles have been sold in the last 10 years than in the previous 40 years. There are more people who call themselves Christians now than in any time in the history of the world. In many respects, it's an encouraging age. It's encouraging even in little facets, like the banding together of the people who publish comic books. Recently, they've said, we'll screen what we publish more carefully. There's now legislation on the law books that did not exist a few years ago because the moral principles of Christ are seeping down where people live. In many, many respects, it's an encouraging world. People are more interested in religion. I made a list a few days ago of some of the things for which I'm especially grateful as a Christian. First, there are more members of the family of God today than ever before. We're not interested in numbers, except that each new member means another person is on his way to heaven, which means that we're vitally interested in numbers. There are several million people who are now trying to reproduce New Testament Christianity to the best of their ability, and their number grows daily. Second, there is more home and foreign mission work going on now than for many centuries. More has been done in the last 10 years than in the previous 100 years. I'm thinking of Germany, France, and England. I'm thinking of Norway and Italy. I'm thinking of Korea, Japan, the Philippines, Australia, Ethiopia, Nigeria, and a host of other places where New Testament Christianity's also been making great strides. Third, there are more young people getting a Christian education, that is, studying their secular subjects along with religious subjects, than ever before. It thrills me to know that tomorrow morning when school time comes, that in the colleges conducted by New Testament Christians, more than 12,000 young people will sit down to study. Each will have a Bible class along with his secular classes. Fourth, More benevolent work is being done than ever before. Homes for old people have come into being. Orphans' homes are stronger and are more numerous. Many more children are being cared for in the name of Christ. Fifth, more and better church buildings are being constructed throughout not only this land, but other lands. Although buildings are only tools, they're encouraging factors. Now, this is progress of a material nature, but it shows something deeper. It couldn't happen if people were not consecrated to the Lord. Sixth, more extensive use of radio and television than ever before. And this, too, is a very encouraging factor. Seventh, more effective use of printing is still another factor. I'm thinking of improved Bible school literature as well as of books and magazines. Eighth, still another encouraging factor is the fact that more money is being given by all of us than ever before in the history of the world for religious purposes. Ninth, I genuinely believe that there's a greater breadth of vision among Christians right now than at any time in many generations. Since the war, we've been aware of the needs of the world, whereas we used to be aware of the needs of our own community. Now, this greater breadth of realization of what needs to be done is most encouraging. The Christian is one who cares. You cannot be a Christian and be concerned only about yourself and your own family or your own neighborhood. And finally, tenth, if I'm not mistaken, there is a deepening spirituality among us that emphasizes the letter of the law, but not the letter only. There's emphasis, too, on the spirit of the law. Christ taught both the letter and the spirit. A deepening spirituality that makes us all pray more, read our Bibles more, feel more as Christ felt, is certainly a stimulating and encouraging factor. The last expression in this great text of Scripture is one which is truly inspiring. The apostle repeats, "All things are yours." And then he gives the reason. "Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." The future belongs to us because we belong to Christ. It's only because we've embraced those truths which Christ came to teach that we have a confident expectation of future good. If you take Christ out of our lives, our house is built on sand. The future belongs to Christ and His disciples because He belongs to God. Exactly what does Paul mean when he says, "And Christ is God's"? Can you for a moment go back these 19 centuries to the time when Jesus was living on the earth? Imagine that you're walking down the street. You stop a man and you ask, "Who of our time will the future historians remember? To whom will the future belong?" The thoughtful person will wait a moment and then reply, "Oh, I suppose Pilate will have a page in history. After all, he's the governor of the province. Who else do you think will be remembered when the historians write?" "Well, perhaps Herod, he's king. And surely Caesar will be remembered." Maybe he would go on to mention some of the more prominent merchants or some of the more notorious bandits of the day. But he would never, never name Christ. The carpenter from Nazareth would not have a chance to be remembered. Yet the future did not belong to Pilate, nor Herod, nor Caesar. In fact, most of us do not even know which of the Caesars was on the throne when Christ lived. Pilate would have been completely forgotten except that he played a one-day part in the story of Jesus. The future belonged to Jesus because Jesus belonged to God. Christ lived a life perfectly in accord with the will of God, and the impact on the world will never be forgotten. When you and I belong to Christ, we live our lives with the grain of God's truth rather than against the grain. That's what Christianity is all about. But notice, as the Apostle Paul says it in Ephesians 1, verse 3, that every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. These wonderful blessings of which we've been speaking are ours only if we're Christians. Have you ever believed in Christ as the Son of God? That must come first. Have you turned your back on the sins of the world? That's the hard part in becoming a Christian. Have you confessed your faith in Christ before men? Jesus commanded that we stand up and declare our convictions openly. Have you been buried with your Lord in baptism? This brings you to the place where God adds you to His family or church. Then, and only then, are you in Christ. When we've become Christians, only when we've become Christians can we say, all things are ours.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine above wilt thou roam, farther and farther away?
May we suggest that you write at once for your free copy of today's great sermon. Inasmuch as it deals with one of the most vital problems facing the religious world today, it's anticipated that your request will come in great numbers. In order to ensure receipt of your copy containing a wealth of statistics and scripture references, write today. Be sure to ask for program number 664. That's program number 664. And when you write, why not enroll in a free Bible course? You'll be glad you did. As always, your Bible-related questions will receive immediate personal attention. Please address all correspondence to Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas. That's Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas. This has been A Herald of Truth, presented under the direction of Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas, and supported by Churches of Christ and interested individuals from around the world. This is Robert Holton, inviting you to listen next week for another stimulating gospel message. At that time, Batzel Barrett Baxter will speak on the subject, The Meaning of Conversion.